You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of Archer Radio, the only ordinary queercast on the internet. That's going to be our new catchphrase, I decided. Welcome to the show. I see that we picked up some new listeners. This is a rare weekend podcast. I'm usually at the boyfriend's, or he's usually here, and we are usually busy doing things, so I don't usually podcast on the weekends. But as it turns out, the boyfriend has family in town this weekend, so we were only able to spend last night together, and he's with the family tonight. So I decided I would do a podcast since I had time. Now, for those of you who are new, you should know that I am 41 years old. I'm obviously a gay male living in the Washington, D.C. area. I have a boyfriend. I like to listen to music and watch movies and read books, and I get pissed off at politics and stuff like that. But anyway, just, you know, for those of you who are new, since I know we got some new listeners, just thought I'd give you a little background. In any case, let's move on. In the news today, there was a 14-year-old girl was killed by a shark in Florida. Poor thing. I saw that on the news. Also in the news, three little kids were found in a trunk of a car. I think it was in New Jersey, I think. They had been missing, I think, since yesterday. Poor things, too. And it turns out the car was right there in the yard, and they had looked in the car but not in the trunk. So now there's, like, you know, questions about, you know, why they didn't check the trunk right away. Well, poor things. Also, Billy Graham is having his last crusade in Queens, New York this weekend, which is probably about time because the man is like 86 years old and has all kinds of problems. You know, if he's so close to God, why is he so sick? But not that I need to do that. But his son, Franklin Graham, is going to supposedly take over his position as his the evangelist, whatever. But now his son is not like him. His son is, he doesn't wear suits, he wears leather jackets and jeans and stuff. But the difference is that Franklin Graham is much more political. He thinks that religion should play a part in politics. So I have a feeling that this might be the beginning of new politics by these religious people. Now, I was thinking about this as I saw this on the news, and if Billy Graham has been evangelizing or whatever for like 60 years, can you say that he's been a success? I mean, everybody has not you know, like, latched onto his religion. So, would you call him successful if he's been doing it for 60 years and doesn't have everyone behind him? I don't know. I guess, well, I'm sure he's made a lot of money because they always ask for money. But, oh yeah, and about his son, Franklin, after 9/11, he said some very strong words against Muslims. And I just don't think that's a very Christian thing to do. He called the Muslim religion evil. And while some Muslim people do evil things, you shouldn't call their religion evil. Granted, I don't believe in religions, period, but for someone who calls themselves Christian, that would not be the thing to do to, you know, insult another religion. But so that's just the news for today. I actually did want to talk about more important political things, and actually it's starting out with the Supreme Court. Some of you may have seen on the news on Thursday that the Supreme Court made a ruling about eminent domain. Well, I captured a little bit of audio from the news. So just listen to what's going to happen with this ruling. So listen to this.
First, at the Supreme Court today, a ruling that will have major implications for every person who owns a home. The court has ruled that local governments may take away people's homes or land against their will and give it to private developers if the governments deem it would serve the public good. This gives cities and counties wide power to seize and bulldoze people's homes to make way for shopping malls and other businesses that might generate tax revenue. ABC's Manuel Medrano has more.
This New London, Connecticut neighborhood will soon be gone. Residents whose homes can now be destroyed to make way for a hotel and office complex are outraged.
We're staying put. I mean, there's nothing more you could say other than we're staying put until we're actually tossed out of here.
In a 5-4 decision, the court ruled that cities have the right to take homes and land, not only for traditional public use projects such as roads and bridges, but for private commercial development.
This case was not some type of a land grab. This case was about the city of New London, its 6 square miles, and its economic survival.
That is little solace for Mike Cristofaro, whose family has owned its home for generations.
I have not even had the heart to go tell my father that we've lost the house. I don't know how to tell an 80-year-old Italian that we do not own this property anymore and that we're going to be thrown out of it.
Writing for the majority, Justice John Paul Stevens wrote that plans to revitalize cities like New London will provide appreciable benefits to the community. Promoting economic development is a traditional and long-accepted function of government. In Long Branch, New Jersey, Denise Hoagland says her house is about to be replaced by luxury townhomes.
Your property is an outer extension of yourself and something that you build upon through your life. And to have it forcibly removed from you is un-American.
Justice Sandra Day O'Connor wrote a stinging dissent, saying municipalities are getting unlimited power to uproot families. Cities will be able to transfer property from those with fewer resources to those with more. The founders cannot have intended this perverse result.
Some critics are concerned that the decision will increase the opportunity for graft and corruption in local government. Manuel Medrano, ABC News, the Supreme Court.
Now, this really made me mad. I can't believe that in a 5-4 decision that they decided that it was okay for governments or cities to take your property away simply because they think that the benefits of having, commercial businesses in there are going to outweigh your staying in that house. That really pisses me off. It's this fucking Republican Supreme Court is just looking out for big business. Big business finds a chunk of land that they'd like to build something on, and what do? They say, oh, those houses are run down, let's tear them down and build, high-rises or whatever. It's just, that pissed me off. And the whole thing about the Supreme Court anyway is pissing me off. Although, I was very pleased to hear about Sandra Day O'Connor. She had quite a stinging dissent from the ruling. And she's right. It's like the taking away the property from people benefits big business. And that ruling is bad. And it's going to be, very bad for all those people who are losing their houses for big business. Another typical Republican thing in cahoots with business. So, and now interestingly, I have to stop saying interestingly enough. That's wrong. On Monday is the Supreme Court's last day in session for this quarter, I guess, or this time of the year, whatever. And they're expected to rule on the Government Ten Commandments displays case, where they have to decide if it's constitutional for government buildings to display the Ten Commandments. Now, hearing about the whole home seizure ruling, I will not be surprised if they say that it is constitutionally correct or whatever to display the Ten Commandments in government buildings. However, that flies in the face of the Founding Fathers, or at least Thomas Jefferson, writing that about the separation of church and state. That basically is singling out one religion to be, hold a prominent place in government buildings. And that's crazy. We've got hundreds and hundreds of religions. I don't like any of them, but I don't think any one should be, singled out over another. So we'll have to see how that plays out on Monday. And also at the same time, they're expecting that Chief Justice Rehnquist will announce his retirement on Monday because of his cancer that he has. Of course, now this just starts the whole ball rolling with who will President Bush nominate for, you know, to take his position. And of course, we're going to go all the way back to the Senate and the House, you know, debating about who, you know, judges on the Supreme Court and are going to give them an up vote or a down vote or, and all that. And already today, I saw on the, I heard on the news that, not on the news, I saw a commercial on, it was during the news, I saw a commercial, obviously by a Republican group, saying that Democrats are liars. Or anyway, here, listen to this commercial that I heard, and you be the judge.
Republicans never made an honest living in their lives. President Bush is a loser and a liar. So you know what the liberals will say about any Supreme Court nominee. When past presidents made Supreme Court nominations, some Democrats instantly attacked them. Newspapers called some of these liberal attacks a smear, dishonest, ugly. Democrats will attack anyone the president nominates. But a Supreme Court nominee deserves real consideration instead of instant attacks.
So they're already starting with these commercials coming out against quote-unquote liberals who are calling President Bush a loser. Well, hello, he is a loser. So this commercial, I mean, it's just the beginning. It's like every fucking day there's something else that just pisses me off. The Supreme Court, now there is another thing that pissed me off. It's the fucking Karl Rove and the comments he made last week about, Democrats. Oh, and I have another audio clip to play for that I heard from the news. I know I'm playing a lot of audio clips, but too fucking bad. There are things in the news that I capture, and they say it much better than I do. And this one is, of course, about Karl Rove and how the politics. Oh, just listen to the clip.
We have another story about the political dialogue in the country getting more brazen. One of the most powerful people in the Bush administration has drawn intense criticism today for some remarks he made last night about liberals, conservatives, and the reaction to 9/11. Karl Rove is the president's senior advisor and deputy chief of staff. Last night, it's safe to say he was not attempting to reach across the aisle. Here's ABC's Jake Tapper.
At the dinner for conservatives, Karl Rove, President Bush's chief political advisor, served up some red meat.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 and the attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of the 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapy and understanding to our attackers.
Those remarks had Democrats up in arms today as they recalled the bipartisan resolution to go to war against Al-Qaeda.
There was no dispute between the parties on this issue. We all agreed that we had to defeat the enemy of America.
I would hope, Mr. Secretary, that you and other members of the administration would immediately repudiate such an insulting comment from a high-ranking official.
But the White House praised Rove for his candor.
He was talking about it and telling it like it is when it comes to the different approaches for winning the war on terrorism.
President Bush came to office promising to change the tone in Washington. Political observers say it has changed. It's nastier.
It is a bipartisan disease. Democrats have chosen for their leader outspoken partisan Howard Dean, whose attacks on Republicans are nonstop.
A lot of them have never made an honest living in their lives.
I've never been able to understand his appeal. I mean, maybe his mother loved him, but I've never met anybody who does.
I don't care if Dick Cheney likes my mother or not. We are going to fight back.
Senators are throwing around Nazi analogies.
It's the equivalent of Adolf Hitler in 1942.
You would most certainly believe this must have happened by Nazis.
Two nights ago, Senator Durbin issued an apology for his comments.
I'm sorry.
It was a moment of reconciliation. It lasted less than 24 hours. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Washington.
Now, he said that, Karl Rove said, that conservatives prepared for war. Well, that's what all Republican administrations have done. They always bring war. And then he said liberals, or the Democrats, prepared indictments and offered sympathy. Well, that's the man should be fired. He should, plain out, he should be fired. And I believe Hillary Clinton said that in maybe that was in the clip. I'm not sure, but she said that he should be fired for he should lose his job over these comments. And I completely agree. The man is a fucking idiot. He's running the White House from behind the scenes. He tells Bush what to say. And I am sure that, well, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't put it past him to have a little headphone in Bush's ear and him telling him what to say like a little puppet. And, of course, the White House were, you know, were very pleased with what Rove had to say. And that's just insulting as it is. The man should lose his job. He should truly lose his job. It's sick. Something, of course, there's too many things this week that were just pissing me off about this fucking Republican administration. Another thing came out about on the news, and yes, I do have another audio clip, and too fucking bad, you'll have to listen to it. Or you can fast forward it if you heard it, but...
The other major news about privacy came from the Pentagon. We learned today that the people in charge of military recruiting have assembled a massive database on their prime targets, high school students. Along with a private contractor, the recruiters have gathered detailed information about millions of 16 to 18-year-olds across the country. News of the database set off a furor among privacy advocates, and ABC's Dan Harris joins us with more on this controversy. Dan.
Good evening. This database is culled from existing records, and it includes names and addresses, and in some cases, telephone numbers, email addresses, and even grade point averages. The purpose of gathering all this information on students as young as 16, says the military, is to assist in direct marketing recruiting efforts.
It's very secretive. It feels a lot like a Big Brother proposal, and it really should be stopped.
The Pentagon, struggling to recruit in the face of daily violence in Iraq, says the database is a way to remain competitive at a time when young people have a lot of choices. Officials say they'll handle the data with care.
We always worry about privacy issues, and certainly, as you know, we've put together a panel on that subject.
But after the recent spate of security breaches involving Americans' personal information, privacy advocates say the Pentagon database unnecessarily puts high school students at risk for identity theft. A growing number of parents were already upset about the military's recruiting techniques. Specifically, a little-known provision in the No Child Left Behind education law, which requires public schools to provide the military with students' names, addresses, and phone numbers. Last month, Louise Wanyer submitted an opt-out letter so that recruiters don't get her daughter's personal information. Today, she learned about the Pentagon's huge database, which may have more information on her daughter than she'd ever imagined.
I thought I'd protected my kid. This is a direct violation of family privacy and parental rights.
Parents and privacy advocates say they understand the military's need to recruit, but they say this type of information gathering goes way too far. Late today, the Pentagon reminded reporters that back in 1982, Congress passed a law. They insist Congress passed a law back in 1982, Elizabeth, that allows them to gather this type of information.
All right. Dan Harris, thanks so much.
And of course, you know, everyone knows that they've been having problems recruiting anybody to join the military because of the fucking war in Iraq. Who the hell would want to join the Army now? And if you are, you're stupid, because there are other outlets in your life that you can take. You could work two or three jobs, little jobs. I know it sounds crazy to put yourself through college, but it has been done before and you can do it. In any case, this database that they're creating, this is the sad part that makes me pissed off. There's a little-known provision in the No Child Left Behind Act, or law, that requires schools to give the government or the military the names, addresses, and phone numbers of all the students who are 16 to 18 years of age. Not just boys, not just girls, but both. But the military is taking it one step further. Their database includes birthdays, gender, social security numbers, emails, ethnicity, and telephone numbers, as well as grade point averages. Now, why do they need that information? Do they really think that they're going to recruit the students with the highest grade point average? Because 10 to 1, the students with the highest grade point average are the smarter kids, and they know that going into the military is stupid right now. It's not a benefit to go into the military. You know, years ago, during peace times, it was a good thing to go to the military because they would pay for college. Not anymore. You're going to get your asses going right to Iraq, and you're probably going to get your ass killed. So, not that I have any high school listeners, but if you are listening, don't do it. Don't do it. Let their recruitment, you know, go down even further every month. Oh, it pisses me off. All right, enough about this politics. Oh, take a breath. Now, sorry for all that political stuff. I will refrain from spending so much time talking about politics, and I will certainly try to refrain from using so many audio clips. I do have other things to talk about tonight. The first being that I got this weird voicemail, and I don't know who it's from. I'll play it in a minute, but it's a female voice, and I'd like to think that it's Beth, but I don't think so. I think she would identify herself in the voicemail. Oh, excuse me, I burped. I know I'm not supposed to do that. Oh, fuck it. But anyway, this voicemail is from a woman, and she says, oh, you know, your voice is so sexy or something like that. Excuse me again. And she leaves her phone number, but unfortunately she doesn't leave her area code, so I can't call her back. So, mysterious voicemail caller, call back. Tell us your name. Do you have a podcast? Do you have a website? Fill us in more. Okay, so listeners, listen to this voicemail, it's weird. Listen to this voicemail.
Hi. Anyway, you sound really sexy. Oh, yeah. Anyway, if you want to know my voicemail, it is 736-6739. Call me, okay? Bye.
Is that not the weirdest voicemail message you've heard? Well, I'm not calling her back, because I'm gay and I don't give a shit about if my voice is sexy. I have a boyfriend and I don't need any women chatting me up. Anyway, moving right along, I need to talk about Mike Hipp of the Hipp Perspective blogspot, or a blog. Mike Hipp, I believe, is in Atlanta, and he writes about the different podcasts that he follows, and he follows the Queercasts, and he started to he listens to the podcast, and then he talks about, he writes like a synopsis of the different podcasts and what's going on in the podcast, and he added me to his lineup of podcasts that he listens to, and he wrote about the last couple. Well, he's listened to like two or three. But anyway, so I want to thank Mike Hipp of, and I'll put a link on the blog, I mean on the webpage, but it's hippperspective.blogspot.com. And if you want to just get a quick synopsis of what the podcast's about, he writes it up, and then you can decide then if you want to listen to the podcast or not. So thanks, Mike, for doing that. And I appreciate you adding me to your listening there. Okay, moving on. I'm not going to play my little listener email, but I got an email from several people, but Tigger Ginger Snaps sent me an email saying that he's been listening to me for a while, and he listens to me on his commute to work, and he says that he loves the show, except he'd like it to be longer. Well, Tigger, this show will probably be, you know, maybe long enough for you to get to work, but then again, if you listen to it on the weekends, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, and he even sent a picture. I'll have to ask him if it's okay to put the picture on the website. And I'll email you back, Tigger. I know that because he sent it yesterday or Friday, so I haven't responded yet, but I will. And we got an email from Peter, and of course, I was talking about Big Brother on the last podcast, and Peter did a little research and found the Australian Big Brother. They broadcast their boys nude on that show, and he sent me video captures of the show, and all these boys naked, not boys, they're men, But the first guy that he showed, he's actually got a nice dick, it looks like. But Peter, thank you for the pictures you sent. Very nice. Now, why can't we have that in America? Why can't we have, you know, if they're getting out of the shower, why don't they show them nude on the American television? Because of fucking religious Republicans. Oh, I'm not going back to politics. So, and we got an email from Wanda Wisdom, and she created like a promo for all of the Queercasts, and she added little bits of each of their podcasts. Then when she got to me, the only part that she added was, "This is Archer of Archer Radio."
Work it, whore.
Shake that thing, miss. Can I shake that thing, miss? And I better shake that thing, yeah. Da-da-da-da, Jordy and Rebecca.
My bowel movements are quite regular and full of fiber.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and flutter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
I worked in a strip joint in Tokyo.
Oh yeah, work it, whore.
You know, this is pretty much what you're going to expect. You're going to find a lesbian that swears and says whatever the fuck she wants to. Because I'm just talking in my house, and this is what I do. This is me at home, and this is how it is to be a bloated Jewish lesbian, 56 years old, who works at a record label.
This is Madge Weinstein from Yeast Radio. How are you doing today?
No matter who you are, shine bright to see.
I'm podcasting's lucky bitch, Wanda Wisdom. That's Wanda, W-I-S to the D-O-M, Wisdom. Which kind of implies that I have something to say that's, you know, of some sort of, you know, benefit to the universe. And I don't know if that's true, but in the next 45 minutes or so, you're going to have the chance to decide for yourself.
Hi, I'm Fausto Fornos.
And I'm Orphelion.
And you're listening to the Feast of Fools podcast, which is the only... I just realized that today.
What?
We're the only podcast that is done by a gay couple.
Thank you for tuning in to Reagan Fox's Fox in the City. I am, of course, Reagan Fox, and here on the show, our goal is to F you in the A and give you an electric DJ.
He climbs on top of me like he's going to ride me, and I take that as the signal, and it was. I let him kind of drive, so he's riding this, and I wanted to let him have control at first. He reaches around and grabs my dick. And
I'm Mr. Ferdinand Puth, and it's quiet hour here on peaceradio.com, because, I don't know why, I guess because...
Recorded at Studio 43, you're listening to Urban Family Night.
Hey faggots, what's up? It's Nathan.
Where is my website? Onlinepodcast.com. Thank you very much. And don't forget to smile.
Shine and stop for you to see. Hello, this is Jimmy Bean, and you're listening to The Relish Radio Show at relishradio.com.
Hello, and welcome to Archer Radio.
Oh yeah, work it, whore.
Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.
We're here, we're queer, and we've got our very own podcasts on the internets, ladies. And if you don't like it, you're welcome to take this microphone and shove it up your big derriere.
If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
I'm like, okay, that's nice. So obviously, I've been thinking about, everyone has a shtick. Everyone has something. Madge Weinstein is the bloated lesbian. Fausto is the furry blue, whatever. And he's the only podcast that is done with his boyfriend or gay couple or whatever. Mr. Poos is like the gay southerner. Wanda Wisdom is the alcoholic drag queen. So everyone's got, you know, a shtick. Well, I don't have anything like that. So I was talking to the boyfriend last night, and I was thinking, you know, I should consider myself like the most boring queer cast. And then I was thinking, no, boring's kind of, I mean, yes, I know, believe me, I know my podcast is boring, and I don't really care. If you think it's boring, stop listening. But I just like to create them, and I mean, I like to make the audio and stuff. But I was thinking about what I can, you know, I have to have a tagline or something. So you probably heard at the beginning of the show that I'm now going to say that, you know, this is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queer cast on the internet. Because I am. I'm just ordinary. I'm just, you know, an ordinary everyday person talking about politics and everything. So, So Wanda created her own promo that she's going to play. I don't know if she's going to play it on her show. Actually, she did play it on her show because I listened to her show yesterday. But then I got an email. Actually, I got an email Thursday from Madge Weinstein. And, you know, Madge Weinstein has her show, Yeast Radio, on thepodshow.com and Sirius Radio. Well, she said she's putting together promos of all the queer cast that will have links on the podcast show and possibly on will be played on Sirius Radio, Sirius Satellite Radio. So she requested that if we have them, excuse me, to send her a promo for our shows, and she'll put them together and play them all at one time, kind of like what Wanda did. So this afternoon I was playing around with the audio and trying to write up stuff that I could make a little promo, and I came up with one, and I went ahead and sent it off to Madge Weinstein at Yeast Radio, and hopefully it'll get played. If not on Sirius Radio, which is scary in a way, because that would bring in more listeners, which would be great, but then I'd be afraid that my bandwidth wouldn't be able to support it, and the site would be shut down, which would be the scary thought. So I'm on both sides of the fence. Do I want to get that popular that it's going to cost me to more money for the bandwidth, or do I just want to keep the 50 or so listeners that I have? Anyway, that's been going through my head. So anyway, I created this promo and sent it off to Yeast Radio. So listen to the promo and just listen to it. This is Archer from ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queer cast on the internet. No shtick, no characters, no celebrities, just talk. Talk about politics, movies, books, wine, and the daily life of a regular gay man, and sometimes his boyfriend, living in the Washington, D.C. area. So check out my podcast at ArcherRadio.com. So that's the promo. I hope you liked it. I think it was a good synopsis of what I do on the show here and what it includes. So that's the promo. And I'm going to try to start every show saying that this is the only ordinary queer cast on the internet, because I need to get that line. I need to have a line that, you know, that is known. So anyway, this has gone on kind of long. That'll make Tigger happy, but maybe not my hosting service. In any case, Did I even say today's Saturday at the beginning? I don't think I did. It's Saturday, June 25th, 2005, and right now it's about 20 after 8 in the evening, Eastern Standard Time. Now, tomorrow I have a very busy day. I have two photo shoots. As you know, one of my hobbies is creating artistic male nude photographs. Yes, that's right, artistic male nude photographs. And I turn them into some interesting art sometimes. And I haven't had a photo shoot for probably 2 months, at least 2 months. Well, my artist friend Bob is coming up from where he lives, and we have two models planned for the day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And so I'll be spending my whole day doing photography and then working on the pictures and uploading them to my website, which actually I have another question about that. On Thursday, the Department of Justice put out new regulations for pornography sites. I don't consider my site pornography at all, but they might. So I have to read those regulations, and I might have to put up some little page that, you know, where you click to say, I agree to look at, you know, images, or I'm 18 years or older, or whatever. I have to look into that and see if those new rules apply to me. And if so, you know, I might have to take my photographs down. I don't know. We'll see. I'll have to look into that. So anyway, this podcast has gone on very long, so I'm going to wrap it up now and say thank you for listening. And if you enjoy the show and you don't mind it being too boring, then go over to Podcast Alley and vote for me. Or better yet, go to the website, archerradio.com, and on the sidebar at the top, type in your email address, click vote. Then when you get the email, click confirm that that's the vote you want to make. And that'll add votes to my ranking on Podcast Alley. I think I'm like 146. I was really hoping to get back into the top 100, but I don't think that's going to happen. In any case, that's all for now. Have a great evening, day, morning, whenever you're listening to this. And until next time, boys and girls, bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.